Former Haitian President Jean-Bertrand Aristide is in seclusion at a country house in Jamaica today. Aristide returned to the Caribbean yesterday after he left Haiti for exile in the Central African Republic on February 29th. Jamaican officials say it is a temporary stay while Aristide chooses a more permanent home. All the same, the new leadership in Haiti is not pleased with this move, saying it could stir up more trouble in Haiti. The U.S. government is also disappointed, saying that former President Aristide's actions are not helpful. So what do you think about the former president of Haiti settling close to his former country? Our phone number is 800-989-8255, or email us totn@npr.org. And with us here in Studio 3A is Daniel Erickson, Director of Caribbean Programs at the Inter-American Dialogue, and it's good to see you again.
Thank you very much.
So why did President Aristide go to Jamaica, do you think?
Well, I think probably his first priority was to get out of the Central African Republic. This had never been on his initial preferred list of countries to spend time in exile. And as well, he wanted to get closer to the Western Hemisphere. He has family in Jamaica, clearly has deep links in the Caribbean. And so for all of these reasons, I think that also he had somewhat worn out the welcome of his hosts in the Central African Republic. All of that contributed to his return.
Yet at the same time, he's been saying he considers himself still the president of Haiti. And obviously, if you're going to mount a return to Haiti, you're a lot closer to Haiti from Jamaica than you are in the CAR.
Well, that's very true. I think that the Jamaican government has clearly indicated that they're only going to be hosting Aristide for a short period of time. I think they said eight to 10 weeks or something of that nature. But clearly, Aristide has made a lot of noise in his short 2 weeks in exile. He has claimed that the United States kidnapped him. He has tried to implement legal proceedings against both the government of the United States and France. Many of the neighboring countries of CARICOM have protested his leaving the country. And so Aristide has not faded quietly into an ignominious exile. He remains alive and kicking and continues to make waves both in Haiti and in the United States.
What's Jamaica's interest in having Aristide there? Doesn't the government, surely they understand that they risk, relations with the United States?
Yeah, I think this is a part of a broader trend where the English-speaking Caribbean is really seeking to chart an independent path from the United States. You see this on a number of different issues, certainly in terms of relationships with Cuba, also in trade issues. There's a pretty deep divide between the U.S. and Jamaica and the English-speaking Caribbean. And on Haiti, indeed, CARICOM had taken the lead prior to Aristide's ouster of trying to broker a political settlement there. I think they might feel a bit big-footed by the U.S. and France, and this is one way to say, listen, we're independent players with minds of our own.
Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, other Caribbean nations have been taking a stand. Most recently, President Chavez in Venezuela has offered his country as a place of exile if President Aristide should choose to accept it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think I would find that unlikely that Aristide would actually go there. But yes, this is throughout the Caribbean and Latin America, I think this has become another issue on which the American countries can express some solidarity and also poke a finger in the eye of the United States.
Yet at the same time, you have some countries also working with the United States and France on this, as you pointed out. Canada has some troops in Haiti, as does Chile.
Yes, that's correct. I think that there is right now you really have two trends, I think, taking place. And one is really a multilateral effort supporting the new interim Haitian government and supporting the effort to get things under control in Haiti. At the same time, you have another effort that's seen in the Caribbean countries, in the African countries as well, and other, you mentioned Venezuela. Clearly, Chavez doesn't have a great deal of affection for the United States, where they're really trying to use Aristide's ouster as a reason to generate controversy in the hemisphere.
And as for Mr. Aristide himself, again, he was thrown out in a coup in shortly after his first election, reinstalled by the United States. And then he says in this latest incident that he was removed by the United States forcibly. The United States says, hey, we have this letter of resignation that you signed. Is he playing both sides here?
Well, he might be playing both sides. I think that he's probably not very pleased by the fact that he's the only president of Haiti to have been ousted from the country twice. There have been, I think, 32 or 33 coups in the country's history, but each one affecting a separate leader. At the same time, I think it's very hard to imagine that Aristide does have a political future in Haiti in the short term. There's so much animosity towards him there. And I think that it's really very difficult to see a situation in which he really reemerges in Haiti as a political leader. At this point, it's really just more of a distraction for the international community.
Yet at the same time, admittedly, there are a lot of people opposed to him. There are a lot of people who support him as well. And the new Haitian government, as fragile as it is, aren't they worried that his reemergence in this, isn't it legitimate for them to be concerned that his reemergence in the area is going to merely stoke the passions of those who do support him?
I think they're clearly very concerned about that. As you mentioned at the outset, they actually have frozen diplomatic relations with Jamaica, a country that Haiti has traditionally been close to. And I think they're very concerned that this does pose, in a certain way, a threat to their legitimacy if you have Aristide claiming he's still the elected president.
Let's get a caller on the line. Here's Donnell, who's joining us from Jacksonville, Florida.
Hi. Good day, guys.
Hi.
Basically, my opinion was that the United States and the UN should have got together and left him in and had an impeachment trial for him instead of just ousting him. That way, it would have squashed any uprising or them trying to throw a coup to take him out of office, and it would have basically took care of all the problems.
You're suggesting, I assume, Donnell, long before there were people actually marching on the Capitol and his life was in danger.
Right. Before all that started, when they saw that, you know, I think it was in northern Haiti where everything started at, and they decided to move southward, they should have just basically sent people in to stop that and just set up an impeachment trial since he was elected.
Daniel Erickson, would that have been an alternative under, I'm not familiar with the Haitian Constitution.
Well, I think there's two potential problems there. The first is that the Haitian Parliament actually expired in January, so you would have no legislative body that could be involved in an impeachment process. And then if you handled it through the judicial system, the successor to Aristide was the Chief Justice of the Haitian Supreme Court. And so that might be seen as someone's self-interest. I think the bottom line is that there weren't really functional democratic institutions in Haiti that could handle an impeachment process. Although I do agree that it would have been nice for there to have been some sort of democratic process, even if that did lead to Aristide's ouster.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, guys.
Thanks for the call, Donnell.
Thank you.
Are there going to be any repercussions for these Caribbean countries that are thumbing their noses at the United States, do you think?
Well, it's hard to see what exactly the repercussions would be. I think that as I said, this is really a drift that has taken place for some time. Many of the governments of the Caribbean actually tilt slightly to the left anyway. They have closer ties to Venezuela and to Cuba than many in the U.S. government would like to see. And really, I'm not sure how exactly the U.S. could retaliate. But what you do see is that basically in a country in Haiti where you've just had a tremendous amount of violence and upheaval, Aristide's presence does continue to stir the pot. And so in that sense, it's hard to see what was constructive about Jamaica wanting to take this on.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to see the Dominican Republic, which of course shares the island of Hispaniola with Haiti, in the midst of all of this, and had some involvement with the rebels who marched eventually on Port-au-Prince. In the midst of all this, they just negotiated a new free trade agreement with the United States.
Right, that's correct. I mean, the Dominican Republic is part of a separate trend almost that you would identify in the countries of Central America. As well, where you have governments that are tilting more to the right and are seeking closer ties to the United States. The Dominican Republic is one of several countries that supported the war in Iraq, that's actually sent some troops to Iraq and want to be on the side of the U.S. in the war on terror and other items.
Daniel Erickson, as always, thanks for coming in today. We appreciate it.
Great, thank you.
Daniel Erickson is Director of Caribbean Programs at the Inter-American Dialogue, and he joined us here in Studio 3A. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.